The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, November 27th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be Thanksgiving Eve here in the United States, so we will not have a live show tomorrow or Friday. We'll be celebrating the holiday and wishing you all a good four-day weekend over these next 4 days. We will be bringing you plenty of news and information on today's show, though. We have got all sorts of highlights from the High Times Cannabis Cup taking place right now in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. We've got some video highlights that have that they've sent us from their High Times website. We'll give you a look at those at half past, as well as Bobby Black's look at vaporizer pens and kind of a review of what type of vaporizer pens are out there and which ones you might want to purchase. So stay tuned for that. Some good consumer information on today's show. At the end of today's show, we're going to have time for a radical rant. And on today's rant, I got this great paper that was forwarded to me. It's from some psychology journal, and Paul Armentano of Normal sent it to me. But some great demographics and a new way of measuring cannabis use and consumption in the United States that gives further proof to my hypothesis that legalized marijuana is going to appeal much more to older folks than it is to teenagers. So we'll take a look at the data when we get to the radical rant. Also on today's show, we'll have time for our daily toker tunes. Today is Irie Wednesday. Unfortunately, Gordon Green won't be able to call in for us today, but he did forward us a song, a great song from one of my personal favorites, Willie Nelson, off his Countryman album, featuring reggae legend Toots Hibbert on this song for today called I'm a Worried Man. We're also going to go behind the headlines and take a look at the Denver City Council. They'll be voting again this next Monday on whether or not to ban the public consumption of marijuana, even though it's legalized, ban it even on your own private property, your own backyard, your own front porch, if anyone can see you doing it. So we'll talk about that and behind the headlines, because it's looking like when it comes around for the vote this second time, it's likely to pass, and there's going to be all sorts of lawsuits and trouble based on this from the Denver City Council. So I'll give them my warning when we get to behind the headlines. But first, we'll do our 420 radio news. We got news out of Arizona, where legalization by legislature is suggested. Normal lawyers joining the fray in a lawsuit in Massachusetts, and more.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of College Normal activists to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, November 27th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Make marijuana legal, Democratic legislative leader says, from Arizona Star Net. Saying legislation is better than a voter initiative, the second-ranking Democrat in the state House wants to legalize marijuana for recreational use. Representative Ruben Gallego of Phoenix pointed out proponents of making marijuana legal for adults are gearing up to put the issue on the 2016 ballot, and he believes the voters, who approved medical marijuana use 3 years ago, may be ready to take the next step. But Gallego warned about anything adopted by voters is pretty much cemented into place. The Arizona Constitution sharply limits legislative tinkering with anything approved at the ballot, even if they find major flaws. So Gallego wants to have the issue debated through the legislative process, with the idea lawmakers are better suited to come up with a comprehensive plan, one without unforeseen problems, than outsiders circulating petitions. Gallego said what should concern legislators is the plan by the Marijuana Policy Project to put a legalization measure on the 2016 ballot that cannot be altered once approved. The legislation Gallego is crafting would allow those at least 21 years old to possess up to an ounce of marijuana and grow up to five plants. Details on how and where it could be sold and by whom are still being worked out. Normal lawyers say cops can't make arrests based on pot. This from BostonMagazine.com. Lawyers representing a nonprofit group that supports the legalization of marijuana filed a brief in the state's highest court, arguing that police officers shouldn't be allowed to rely on federal prohibition laws in order to stop and search people if they detect the smell of pot. In their brief, submitted on behalf of members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML, Michael Cutler and Steve Epstein, two attorneys, cited the Massachusetts statewide decriminalization laws and a prior Massachusetts Supreme Court ruling to back up their argument. In 2011, the Massachusetts Supreme Court ruled that the smell of marijuana doesn't justify a probable cause for a police search or a traffic stop. The Suffolk District Attorney's Office, unsatisfied with the outcome of that court decision, claimed an arrest was justified under federal law, which prohibits the possession of any amount of pot. Attorney Cutler said if the Supreme Judicial Court were to side with the Commonwealth on the issue, it would enable federal law to justify police searches otherwise illegal under state regulations. Washington applicants seek marijuana grow licenses more than retail, from spokesman.com. In its first week of applications, it's clear that Washington has more than enough people willing to grow the drug, but so far there are applications for less than half the number of stores state regulations allow. Based on the State Liquor Control Board's first week of applications, the State Liquor Control Board will regulate recreational marijuana sales approved last year by voters. On Tuesday, they released the names and locations from the 922 applications filed in the first week. The Liquor Board has said it will grant up to 334 retail licenses statewide with limits in each county. So far, it has received applications for just 158 retail licenses and no applications in 14 counties. Anti-pot cities may get sued from the Seattle Stranger. In a legislative committee hearing last week, state lawmakers were particularly concerned with jurisdictions that oppose legal pot companies. More than 50 cities, including Vancouver, Kent, and Issaquah, have enacted bans on the cannabis businesses. But that's not the state's problem, Washington State Liquor Control Board Director Rich Garza told the committee. The state intends to issue a license to any qualified applicant, regardless of any city's moratorium on pot businesses, and let the cities defend themselves from lawsuits from licensees. Mayor moves to limit medical marijuana dispensaries, from the Chicago Tribune. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel and Alderman Edward Burke introduced a plan Tuesday to limit where medical marijuana dispensaries and growing operations can set up shop in the city after the drug becomes legal January 1st. The proposal would require special use permits from the Zoning Board of Appeals, limit locations to manufacturing districts, and establish minimum parking requirements. Alderman Burke from the 14th District said, quote, "We regulate everything from liquor licenses to how many residents may be built above a certain height, so it makes sense to give Chicago residents some control over where these types of operations can be located," end quote. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, November 27th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines on the Denver City Council's vote to ban the smoking of marijuana on one's own backyard or porch if it's visible by the public. We'll tell you why that's an extremely bad idea when we come back. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were, meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED Lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. Let them bring in the beat. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. Let them bring in the beat. 420radio.org presents Jorge Cervantes TV, featuring Jorge Cervantes from Barcelona, Spain. The master grower has dropped the disguises and brings you the best grow tips from around the world every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, with replays Friday at 8 a.m., Saturdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 7 a.m., and Mondays at 3 a.m. right here at 420radio.org. Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. It's a quarter after, and we've reported this week on Monday's vote of the Denver City Council. They took their first reading of a ordinance to control the public use of marijuana in the city. Now that marijuana is legal and it's a constitutional right to possess and use up to an ounce of marijuana. Now, on their first reading, they passed this new bill, this new ordinance, 7-5. And part of this ordinance has to do with, you know, whether or not marijuana can be around the pedestrian 16th Street Mall, that kind of touristy destination, and what is the rules of displaying it around parks and so forth. And not much controversy there. But the big controversy in this bill is that they want to define public smoking. You know, it's going to be illegal to smoke in public, which is fine. That was something that was considered as part of the amendment, you know, is whether or not there'd be public smoking bans and so forth. But they want to define public smoking so broadly as that any smoking that can be visible to the public, regardless of where it takes place, would count as public smoking. So we are talking about them banning you being able to go out into your backyard and smoke out there in your backyard. If your neighbors could see you doing it. This goes so far as to say you couldn't smoke on your front porch if people walking by on the sidewalk could see the joint in your hand. And I don't think they are really working out the unintended consequences of what a law like this would be. First of all, what are we regulating here? Smoking marijuana or masturbation? I mean, really, it seems like a masturbation rule, right? Hey, it's okay if you do it. We got no problem with that. Just don't let anyone see you, for God's sake. Don't whip that thing out in public. It's a joint, not a dick, okay? What is the big problem here? And it's especially frustrating, as Mason Tavert points out, that someone could drink beer in their backyard. They could host a party in their backyard with kegs, even. And it wouldn't be any sort of problem. It would be perfectly legal. But to want to fine and punish people for smoking and joint on their own property is completely counter to the constitutional right that was established by Amendment 64. And especially considering that in Denver, it passed by about a 2-1 margin. So the people clearly wanted us to be left alone if we were smoking pot and not bugging other people. And that's where the rub lies here, is that it's the question of whether or not we're bugging other people. Because what you get from the soccer moms and whoever's complaining about this, and I think I read one of the council members saying, you know, or responding to this, that, oh, goodness, if our children were to see people, adults, smoking pot on their own property, it would undermine all the messages we're trying to send the children about how bad pot is. Well, you don't get to send that message anymore, that adults don't get to choose pot, because guess what? They do. The law has changed now. It is now a constitutionally recognized right in the state of Colorado for an adult to possess and use cannabis. You're going to have to figure out a way to teach your kids about that. Now, you've figured out a way to teach your kids not to drink beer, even though there's a Coors Field in the middle of downtown. You figured that out, right? You figured out how to keep your kids away from cigarettes, even though they're available at the age of 18 in Colorado, I believe, or maybe it's 19, but I think it's 18. You figured this out. Why is this so hard to figure out with newly legalized cannabis? And part of the reason is because it has to do with demonization. It has to do with this wanting to cast the users of cannabis as somehow bad rather than the use of the cannabis itself. But they're not thinking about the unintended consequences of this. If a cannabis smoker is not going to be allowed to smoke outside where someone can see him, they're going to smoke inside. And if you're worried about the harm to kids from secondhand smoke, and maybe a parent wants to be a little considerate of that and wants to go outside and smoke their joint away from their children, they can't. Your unintended consequence is forcing all of the pot smokers back inside, possibly around their own kids. And again, it's just contrary to the will of the voters. When it was treat marijuana like alcohol, then let's treat marijuana like alcohol. And even if we allow the smoking of pot in our own homes, we're still not to the point of treating it like alcohol. There's no limit on how much alcohol you can buy. There's all sorts of places where you can go and party with people using alcohol indoors and outdoors. But at least one step at a time. Let's at least get to the point where we're allowed to smoke it in our own backyards and our own front porches, for God's sake. It's just prohibition by another name. If you're not allowed to smoke pot at your own home, if you're required to be completely secret while smoking pot, it's the vice that dare not be seen.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack Go!
Даня Данько. Я редактор журнала High Times. Отвечаю за отдел культивации, или проще говоря, выращивания. Приглашаем вас в Амстердам с 24 по 28 ноября, чтобы посетить ежегодный турнир Cannabis Cup, уже 26 по счету. Там мы сравним множество видов марихуаны и гашиша из смежных кофешопов. Еще у нас там выставка товаров, семинары по выращиванию, ночные концерты и вручение премии за лучший в мире сорт марихуаны. Хотите получить 10% скидку со стоимости билета? Используйте промокод Данько на сайте cannabiscup.com. Ждем вас!
Mark, welcome home.
Please, come.
Join us.
Mark hasn't smoked weed in about 10 days, and I'm worried about him. I can't watch him destroy himself.
I'm fine, okay? This is none of your business.
Shh. Come, Mark. We're only here because we care.
I'm in control. That's what they don't get, is that I can start smoking weed anytime that I want to. I just don't feel like it right now.
At first, he was, you know, just skipping a day here and there. But then it got more and more consistent, and then he just wasn't smoking any weed at all.
Mark, we haven't smoked a joint together in like 3 weeks, man. I don't know who you are anymore. Your short-term memory is incredible.
You know, I just can't sit back and watch someone destroy their own lives with horrible decisions.
See you guys. Stupid, I'm getting out of here.
Hey,
don't touch me!
It hurts me a lot, you know? What do you do for someone that you care about that is ruining their own life? What do you do?
He's not showing any signs of starting.
Intervention on A&E.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving holiday to you for the next coming up couple of days. Gonna have a nice 4-day weekend, and as we move into that, we get to play some music here from one of my favorites. I grew up listening to Willie Nelson. My dad's a old country musician, and like the Stardust album, that was like lullaby music to me. That was fantastic stuff. And he's still going strong today. One of his most recent albums is an album called Countryman. And you can see the album cover up on our web screen with the pot leaf clearly emblazoned upon it and decorated in Rasta colors. It was basically Willie's shout out and respect to reggae music. And on this track off of Countryman, we're going to be featuring Toots Hibbard from Toots and the Maytals is vocals on this as well. So we're going to move on to the track. It's called I'm a Worried Man. And unfortunately, Gordon Green couldn't join us for the intro today out from Spain. But thanks for getting the song, Gordon, because this, again, is one of my favorite artists. Don't forget that later on tonight, 8 o'clock Pacific time, we'll have Red Eyes Reggae Flashback to take you in to the 4-day weekend. Brian the Red is here in studio getting ready and putting together all of the tracks of great roots reggae rhythms for you. So stick around for that coming up at 8 o'clock. Here we go. This is Willie Nelson. I'm a Worried Man.
I go to draw my pay. Close the door on me today. Told me just to stay away and don't come back again.
I told my mama, baby, don't you cry. I'll get a job before the day go by. I don't know where and that is why I'm a worried man.
And their papa is a worried man.
Papa is a worried man.
There is no way that I can see that I can feed my family.
Times. Te invitamos a venir a Amsterdam desde el 24 al 28 de noviembre al 26 aniversario de nuestro Cannabis Cup, donde demostraremos las muchas variedades de marihuana y hachís en los coffee shops. También tendremos una exposición de productos, seminarios de sembradíos, conciertos en las noches y una ceremonia de premios donde honramos la mejor marihuana del mundo. ¡Vámonos!
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Fun, fun.
Don't let him down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Just like that, baby. Don't stop. I like it. You like it, baby? Yeah. Feels good, right? Feels good, right?
Big Daddy thinks.
Won't you roll away, roll away, roll
away? Don't let him down.
Get the session started because it's 420.
Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community.
Right, so we're going to take our way all the way out to Amsterdam for these next few videos. We've got High Times Day 1, Day 2, and Day 3 Cannabis Cup preview videos for you, courtesy of HighTimes.com. Make sure you check out the website, the newly redesigned HighTimes.com, featuring nearly daily articles from yours truly. Got my byline up there on the High Times News and Lounge sections. Make sure to check them out. And now, off to Amsterdam. We'll be right back.
Bobby Black here at the Roast Center here in Amsterdam. It's the 26th annual Cannabis Cup, day two. It's a little cold out here, you know, but that's typical for Amsterdam this time of year. We're trying to stay warm inside with lots of good smoke and good food and good drinks. So we're going to go take a walk around, speak to some of our vendors, and see what's going down here at the Cup. Excuse me, sir, can I see your pass? I am here with two of the giants of the cannabis industry here in Amsterdam. The king of cannabis himself from the greenhouse, Arjan, and master breeder, hash maker, grower, Soma of Soma Sacred Seeds. How's it going, guys?
It's going good. Welcome to the, how much is it now, 30? Cannabis cups?
This is the 26th.
Oh, the 26th.
No, you won over 30, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that's the
you gotta admit, here it is 19 years later, and Arjan is quite the showman. He's quite the, like, look at Strain Hunters. Look at those nice videos, man.
We made a movie of St. Vincent 2 years ago, or one and a half years ago, and now the president of St. Vincent was on BBC, you can check it on YouTube, saying that he's not going to arrest people anymore. You can have 30, you can have an ounce. Okay. So if we can have a little influence with our movies on the politics, it's just a great achievement for the whole industry, for all of us.
We are chilling here with James Loud of Loud Seeds. What's up, James?
How you guys doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Fantastic, man. It's a great show. We have our European company that just launched as of it's official at the High Times Cannabis Cup this year that we have seeds. We're kind of working on an autoflower to release for next year that should be good. We've been working with some top breeders in the industry, and we're looking at doing collaborations with Big Buddha that probably for the High Times Cannabis Cup next year, one of our entries will be with Buddha. So.
Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to all that great new genetics coming from you guys. And we wish you a lot of luck on the awards on Thursday.
This over back home, so I thought, why not?
We're just here to check out all the good stuff.
It's about getting together and smoking joint and talking and dancing and having fun.
It's just a like, relaxing atmosphere. Like, it's different from England. Like, just meeting some of the guys that just, like, grow the weed that I smoke. Like.
Alive.
second, Jamore third.
Yeah,
I'm at bat. I'm about to hit this shit out the world.
Killer.
She like, damn, this the realest since Kumbaya. Kumbaya, killer can, my lord. Still the man with the pen, Skrilla fam on board. Now bitches, they wanna new to me. Niggas, they wanna two to me. The hooligan and hula hands. Maneuvering's nothing new to me. Doggy, I'm from the land of crime. Pan, pan, gram, a dime. Not Toes or MC when I say him a time.
Over the past few years, vapor pens have become the hottest new way of getting high. But with so many models and manufacturers on the market, it can be really difficult to figure out which one to buy. But fear not, fellow stoners, High Times is here to help. By addressing just a few simple questions, we can help you narrow your search and find the pen that's right for you. The first thing you need to ask yourself is, what will I be vaping? If butane or bubble hash is your predominant method of medicating, you'll have a large selection of options to choose from, including standard style pens, as well as smaller, slimmer mini pens. If old fashioned herb is more your speed, there are also several pens that can be used to vape raw cannabis. Or if you prefer to keep your options open, there are numerous models that come with several different interchangeable attachments or tanks to accommodate each of the different materials. There are also pens for liquid concentrates, such as hash oil or glycerin tinctures. In a medical marijuana state, you may have access to pre-filled concentrate cartridges. Otherwise, you'll have to load the liquid yourself, which can be tricky and kind of messy. Where you plan to use your pen is also an important factor to consider. If you lived in a state with strict pot laws, then stealth is going to be your top priority. You're going to want a pen that's easy to fill and conceal. On the other hand, if you live in a medical marijuana state and you're a legit patient, you may be less concerned about concealing your pot use and more concerned with a durable pen or one with a great warranty. In an effort to stand out from the pack, many manufacturers add special features or options to their vapor pens. Some have glass globes or custom mouthpieces. Some have LED battery meters or hit counters. Some come with dabbers, some with cleaning brushes, some with concentrate jars or cool carrying cases. All pens come with some type of USB charging cord, but some also come with adapters for a wall outlet or even a solar pad. How much you're willing to spend will obviously be a factor in which pen you choose. Most models fall somewhere in the $70 to $100 range. If money is no object, you might consider springing for a deluxe kit with lots of accessories and options, or a limited edition specialty model, which may run up to $160. Or let's say you live in Colorado or Washington, where it's legal to smoke recreationally, and you just bought tickets to the Cannabis Cup. You're not worried about getting busted, you're worried about making an impression. In that case, you want a pimpin' pen that shows off your style, like one you can wear around your neck that lights up, a novelty attachment, or a limited edition sports or celebrity model. However, if you're on a tight budget, there are also several more affordable options available that cost only around $40 to $60. Well, that's it. We hope we've made picking a vapor pen a little bit less confusing. For more information, including a detailed breakdown of all the pen's features and ratings, pick up our Vapor Pen Buyer's Guide in the January 2014 issue of High Times, on sale now. Happy vaping!
There you go, folks. A great set of videos from our friends at High Times. The 3 days of preview videos, or highlight videos, I should say, from the Cannabis Cup, the 26th annual Cannabis Cup that's taking place. It ends tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, here in the United States, November 28th over there in Europe. And I can't wait to talk to our friends out there and find out what a good time they had. Maybe next year we'll get out there and bring you some live coverage from it. We got some other special events coming up soon. We're going to have live from Phoenix, Arizona on Wednesday, live from Key West, Florida on Thursday and Friday, following week in Miami, Florida, so stay tuned for those events. We're back with a Radical Rant right after this.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
they say, people addicted to heroin have a monkey on their back. Isn't that cute?
This is Brian the Red, and you're listening to 420radio.org. So get a little fiery.
Hey, sit back, relax, and have a puff or two. Cause all we really trying to do is get high with you. That's just how we do. Sit back, relax, and have a puff or two. Trying to do is get high with you. That's just how we do.
You want answers?
I was mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
As I mentioned earlier today, I got this great paper forwarded to me by my friend Paul Armentano out at Normal. And it's coming from the Journal of Frontiers in Psychiatry. And Jonathan Calkins is one of the authors on the paper. And basically, they're investigating a question that's kind of an inside baseball thing as far as statistics and research on epidemiological causes of drug abuse and so forth. And that is the question of how we measure drug use in this country. How exactly do we try to predict what's going to happen if we legalize and what sort of policy is going to affect the drug-using population? And the authors of this study point out that there's kind of a issue with just merely looking at how many people use drugs and not paying attention to how much of the drugs they are using. So this plays into this report that where they were taking a look at different matrices by which they might measure marijuana use in this country. And it was a very interesting report. But as I dug into the report, I find that a lot of the data they reveal through the use of these new measurements is even better news for those of us who've been pointing out how marijuana legalization benefits our society rather than harms it. Now, you know that one of the primary fear cards that the prohibitionists still have to delay the inevitable re-legalization of cannabis is something we've called WOTC, you know, like Yahtzee, right? WOTC. But that's an acronym, and it stands for What About the Children? WOTC. And the inference, of course, is that legalizing marijuana would expose children to more danger. You know, the more danger than the current system of unlicensed dealers who don't check IDs. Right? That somehow if we put in the store behind a counter and check ID. Oh, my God. Terrible things will happen to the kids. You know, next thing you know, we're going to have a nation full of red-eyed teenagers dropping out of school, roaming the streets like pot zombies in search of strains. Strains. But this new paper that was just published in this journal examines marijuana use, and it's taking a look at information from 2002 to 2011, and it kind of gives lie to this hypothesis that if we increase access to marijuana, it's going to doom American teenagers. In fact, what we find is the truth here is that people that are eligible for AARP, you know, people aged 50 and older are the ones who are driving the recent popularity of weed. Now, the authors are working on this idea that measuring how many people smoke pot is not always the best indicator of pot use. Yeah, sure, there's probably more once-a-month tokers in The Big Chill than there are daily stoners in The Big Lebowski. But the dude's gonna smoke more in 1 hour than all those old college pals smoking a reunion spliff on a weekend. By crunching the numbers from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, the authors calculated a figure called use days. It's a figure that represents how often and how much one tokes. And it was interesting how they explained it, too. They said rather than thinking of it as a survey where you find marijuana smokers and ask them what they're smoking, it's as if you found every gram of marijuana and asked those grams who smoked them. If you want to think of it that way, it's a nice, interesting way of turning it around. It's a way of looking at the consumption of marijuana and then tying the consumption to the people who are consuming it, rather than just looking at how many people are consuming it. So as they did these figures, they took a look at some, of the demographics of age groups and races and educational level. And instead of looking at, through the filter of how many people are using, which, you know, we all have seen the bell curve where, you know, it's 18 to 22 to 23 year olds, you know, are most of the pot smokers. And then older people, you know, the curve, you know, flattens out for older folks. But instead of looking at how many people are smoking, it's a look at how often and how much they're smoking. And so here's some of the stuff that they found out. They found out that from 2002 to 2007, use of cannabis remained fairly steady among all groups based on how often they used. That is, we look at what they call past year tokers. That's people who admit that they have smoked pot within the past year, maybe just once even. Versus past month tokers. Actually, they call it past 30 days tokers, but we'll just call it past month tokers, right? Same idea. Have you smoked pot this month? And they looked at near daily tokers. And what they define as near daily, because in the national survey, they ask, you know, did you smoke pot this month? And then they'll ask how many days this month or how many days in the past 30 days have you smoked pot? And so based on those numbers, they're counting near daily tokers as 21 days or more in a 30-day period. And I think that's fairly reasonable. That's 3 weeks out of four. That's going without maybe a day or two each week. Okay, so we're talking near daily tokers. All three of those groups from 2002 to 2007, their use remained relatively stable. There may have been more of them, but the population increased as well. You get my point, right? So the proportion of them to the population stayed relatively the same. But then in 2007, all the groups began to see an increase, but the most marked increase was the near daily tokers, who are now a nearly 60% greater population than 2002. That is to say, people who are frequent cannabis consumers, that market has grown faster than the market of people who are monthly or annual cannabis consumers. However, based on use days, if you look at it the way these authors are looking at it, a near daily toker can consume as much as 40 times more than a once a month toker. So it's us near daily tokers that drive the market. We're the important ones. We are the ones the markets are going to look at because it's us near daily tokers that are consuming the most marijuana. But here's the kicker. That 60% increase in near daily tokers isn't coming from the ranks of high schools and colleges. It's coming from baby boomers and retirees. As the paper notes, quote, in 2002, there were more than three times as many youth, 12 to 17, as older adults, age 50 and older, using cannabis on a daily or near daily basis. More than three times as many youth as older adults. In 2011, there are more than 2.5 times more older adults than youth using on a daily or near daily basis. We've just about flipped that ratio of teenagers versus 50 and older. Yeah, we do have the baby boomer demographic bubble, right? I mean, there's just more older people compared to younger people, period, because that demographic bubble, you know, getting older and older. But there's an increasingly greater ratio of older to young adults in cannabis that outpaces that baby boom growth. So the authors conclude, quote, this suggests an increase in heavy cannabis use among older individuals, end quote. Here's another way to look at these figures. In 2002, teens, and again, when we say teens, we're going to say 12 to 17. I know 12 is not a teenager, but ask a parent of a 12-year-old. In 2002, teens made up 13% of near-daily users. That's over 1 out of 8 near-daily users was a teenager. In 2011, the figure is 7%. That's less than 1 out of 12. For young adults aged 18 to 21, college age, right? The figures dropped from 26% to 21%. But for adults aged 22 and older, near daily use rose from 62% to 73%. So what we are seeing here is the use, the near daily use of cannabis is increasingly become something more older folks are doing and fewer younger folks are doing. And add this to the mix, in the 2002 and 2003 national surveys of daily use and health, they didn't include blunt use. And of course, we know blunts are more likely to be used by young adults and teenagers. So those figures from 2002 through 2003 would probably be greater than the 13% that we had before. And what we've got now would be an even greater reduction in the youth use. And this is over the period when the number of medical marijuana states, this is from 2002 to 2011. This is over a period when the number of medical marijuana states went from 7 to 15. And dispensary access to medical marijuana exploded in 2007. That's when the graphs really take off, is once adults can get safe access in a dispensary. That's when it started to take off. During all that period, what we found, the average age of a near daily marijuana smoker went up, and use by people 21 and under went down. Now, here's some other interesting findings in this study. It's a man's world. Males make up 60% of past year tokers, 64% of past month tokers, and 70% of past month weed buyers. So ladies, if you're looking for a fella, consider taking up weed. Marijuana por fumar. Hispanics are making up a greater share. They've gone from 8% to 14% of near daily tokers. And that's outpacing the overall demographic growth of Hispanics in general. White folks like me went from 3 out of 4 in 2002 to just 2 out of 3 in 2011 of the daily tokers. So, bienvenidos. Welcome to the near daily tokers. It's also the smarter choice. Here's a great quote from this paper. The largest relative increase was among those with a college degree whose use days increased by 72% from 2002 to 2011. Smarter folks are realizing that smoking weed instead of taking those pills or drinking that whiskey is a great way to relax. We also find in this report that the more you toke makes a difference in how much you toke. That once a month big chill toker uses about 0.6 grams on that one day that he tokes. That once a day Big Lebowski toker will use about 2.75 grams a day. So based on weight consumed in just 1 month, it takes almost 140 chills to equal one Lebowski. Those are my new measurements, by the way. We're going to call the annual toker Big Chillers. And the daily tokers, Big Lebowskis. I think that's fair. So from what I can tell from this paper, it would appear that the cannabis connoisseurs, those of us who drive the market, those of us who make up almost more than 60% of the market in cannabis by weight, are currently becoming older, better educated, and more diverse. And I should say, the dude abides. All right, that's all the time we got here for Hour 1, the Russ Belville Show. Remember, you can pick us up on Spreaker.com as well as Stitcher. We're on Ustream, YouTube, TuneIn, and soon to be, I hope, on iHeartRadio. We've submitted our application. It's still pending. But I want to thank to all our over 106 followers out there who made it possible for us to submit the application. You can also find our podcasts available at 420radio.org. And if you become a VIP member, you'll find more podcasts that aren't available to the general public. Just sign up there under the donate button and become a VIP member today. That's all we got for this first hour. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Join us for Hour 2. Toker Talk Radio is coming up next with my appearance with Ganja John on the Ed Foreman Show. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. Hey, hey, hey,
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.